I don't know how things are going to go. I've already forgot something this morning, so this isn't shaping up too well. But anyway, this morning's message is called A Soul Longing for God. And as I begin the message this morning, I'd like to read a little story to you. The story is about Bobby the Wonder Dog. This is a rather remarkable story of a dog that got separated from his family and traveled over 2,500 miles through unforgiving terrain in the dead of winter to make it back home. The story begins on a warm August day in 1923 when the Brazier family decided to take a road trip to visit family in Indiana. With them traveled their trusty companion, Bobby the dog. While filling gas at a local station in Indiana, Bobby was jumped by three mongrels. In an effort to defend himself, he sprinted away with the mongrels in hot pursuit. That said, the family was not too worried. They knew that the two-year-old Scotch Collie mix was well-equipped to handle himself and that he'd be back sooner or later. With this thought in mind, the family returned to their local home in which they were staying. However, Bobby never returned. When this realization dawned, panic-stricken, the Brazier family searched for Bobby high and low. The family called his name around town and got some locals involved in the search. They even wrote up an advertisement in the local newspaper. But all their efforts were in vain. Bobby could not be found. Disheartened, the family gave up. They decided to carry on with the remainder of their trip, leaving instructions to take care of him, on the off chance that Bobby reappeared. However, this was not to be. Even on their return to town, Bobby was still missing. The family had lost one of its members. Remorsefully, the Brazers decided to make their way back to Silverton, Oregon, leaving instructions to have Bobby sent via rail if he ever managed to show up. 6 months later, the miracle that the family was hoping for was finally delivered. Bobby, after a long absence, found himself at the foot of the place where the family conducted their business. The family was absolutely elated to see him. By the looks of it, Bobby had walked all the way from Indiana. His coat was dirty and disease-ridden. He had lost a lot of weight, and his feet had all but worn out to the bone. Upon investigation by officials at the Oregon Humane Society, the family's unbelievable claim was confirmed as the truth. He did indeed walk all the way from Indiana, crossing mountains and a desert in the harsh winter to reach his home. The town of Silverton was overjoyed by the news. The local newspaper, the Silverton Appeal, published an article on their front page, and soon the story was making headlines across the country. The Braziers received a ton of fan mail from people all over addressed to Bobby. His story became a sensation overnight. He was given jewel-studded collar, gifts, medals, and was also presented with the keys to the city. Bobby even starred in his own silent movie in 1927. Unfortunately, Bobby died young soon after at the age of six. He was buried in the town with honors from the Oregon Humane Society. Portland's then mayor, George Baker, gave the eulogy, while many of his fans came to pay the respects. Even today, one can visit the town of Silverton and visit Bobby's grave, where his legacy undoubtedly lives on. The story of Bobby the Wonder Dog, I came across this story a couple of weeks ago. I was reading Our Daily Bread. I don't know how many of you read that story, but as I read that story, being the nerd that I am, I got to researching and looking up more information about Bobby the Wonder Dog. It's an amazing story of a dog that literally traveled across half the country longing to be with his masters. It also made me a little jealous because my dog, his trick is eating toilet paper. So I don't know that Amos is a wonder dog, but Bobby sure was. And Bobby had this sense about him that he longed to be with his masters. And as you saw in that picture there that was on the screen, what they believe is he actually rode on the luggage on the back of the car, and they believe that his smell, his sense of smell, allowed him to kind of pick up the path to go back home over that long distance. It seems impossible. But as I did my research, this was in Ripley's Believe It or Not. And as it said, there was a silent movie made about his life and what he did. And they also tell in some of the news footage about him that he indeed was a wonder dog because he fathered a litter of puppies, 15 all males. And after his death, they began to have a parade every year in that town to continue to honor Bobby the Wonder Dog. But there was a line in the Daily Bread that really stuck with me and really kind of led to this morning's message. And it read this way. It said, "Bobby's devotion strikes a chord within, perhaps because God has placed an even deeper longing in our hearts." And you know, that longing that God has placed in the hearts of man, that longing isn't just in the hearts of believers. I believe that that longing is in the hearts of people who have not yet accepted Christ as their Savior. And so we hear all the time about people who are unsaved and they feel like that there's something missing in their lives. That something that's missing is that longing to have a communion and a fellowship with God that they're missing out on. That takes us to Psalm 63 this morning. In Psalm 63, we read about David. And as Scott said there, and it probably is in the heading of your Bible, what we read about David here is that he was in the wilderness of Judah. And we're not exactly sure why he was there. We know that he was on the run from somebody. Perhaps this was early in David's life as he was on the run from Saul. Remember that David had been chosen to be the next king. And even though he was a servant of Saul, Saul wanted to kill him and get rid of him. And so perhaps this is when David was on the run from Saul. As we read later in David's life, after he became king, he developed family struggles. And his son Absalom was actually trying to take over the kingdom and wanted to kill his own father. And so David went on the run again. Whatever the circumstances, we read Psalm 63 here, we read that David had a longing for God. And he was longing for God's presence, he was longing for God's provision, and he was longing for God's protection. And so the thought that just kind of kept coming to my mind after reading that little story of Bobby the Wonder Dog was, do we have that same longing in our hearts? Do we have that same longing in our souls to be near to God? David gives us a wonderful example of what that looks like here in Psalm 63. Let's go back and look again there at verses 1 through 5. And here we see David longing for God's presence. In verse 1, "O God, you are my God. Early I will seek you. For my soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands to your name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips." David writes here, and he tells us that he found himself in a dry and in a thirsty land where there is no water. Now, I would contend this morning that probably where he was in the wilderness of Judah, we don't know an exact location, but it probably was a dry and thirsty land. It probably was difficult for him to find water to refresh him. And so as he writes this, he's talking about a physical thirst that he has, a physical desire that he has for water, but I also believe that he's talking about something more. I think the other thing that he's talking about here is his longing for, his thirst for a spiritual relief. Remember, he's away from everyone he knows. He's away from everything he knows. He's out here in this wilderness, and I believe he also feels like he's distant from God. hold your place here in Psalm 63 and look back at Psalm 42. Psalm 42 is written by the sons of Korah. We don't know exactly who the author is here. But I want you to hear that it's what David was experiencing, what David was going through was not unusual for a believer of God. And so today, as we feel like we're in those dry and thirsty lands, we shouldn't feel like there's something wrong with us. But we should just realize that our soul is longing to be near to God and to feel His presence in our life. In Psalm 42, verse 1, the psalmist here writes, "As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before my God?" So we see another psalmist here thirsty and longing for God. And then we go back to Psalm 63 and we see David doing that exact same thing. Why did David long for God's presence so much? It's because David, he really knew who God is. Not who God was. He knew who God is. And he also knew what God had done for him. The many things that God had done for him in his past. And he realized and he understood that they were powerful. David talks about that there in those first five verses. If you look back there, you'll see David talking about God's power, talking about God's glory, his loving kindness. And as David talks about the power and the glory and the love of God, he goes on and he says that those are reasons for him to give praise, that they satisfy his soul, and they're also reasons for him to break out in song. And so David here, he's longing for God's presence. He writes about how he looks for God in his sanctuary. You know, David is far removed from everything that he knows. He's far removed from the tabernacle where he could go and worship God. Even though he's not in God's sanctuary, so to speak, he knew who God was. He longed for God's presence, and he longed for God's presence in his current circumstances. You know, we'll talk about this a little bit later, but we recognize and understand that God is with us wherever we go. And in this circumstance and in this longing for God's presence in his life, David is just reaching out and he's saying, "God, won't you meet me here in this wilderness experience, in this spiritual wilderness that I find myself in, so that I can feel your presence once again in my life." But David isn't just longing for God's presence. He's also longing for God's provision. Look now at verse 6 there in Psalm 63. "When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches, because you have been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice. My soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me." David, even in this dry and thirsty land, he is remembering God's provision. He's remembering God's provision, and he says that. He says, "God, I remember you. God, I meditate on you." And look at where he's doing that. He's talking about in bed as he's lying down to try to sleep. He's talking about through the night watches. It almost seems like that in this situation that David finds himself in, he's having trouble sleeping. He's having trouble, you know, being comfortable. Maybe because he's away from his own bed. You know how it is when we're away from home and we sleep in a bed that we're not used to. Sometimes it's very uncomfortable. We have trouble sleeping. And if he's out in the middle of the wilderness, he might be sleeping on the ground and he's having trouble going to sleep. But he says, "God, I remember you. And I meditate on you and I meditate on your works." Go back to Psalm 42 again. It's interesting how there's some parallels in these psalms. But in 42 verse 8, the psalmist there wrote, "The Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night His song shall be with me, a prayer to the God of my life." This psalmist is writing about how through the night he is thinking about God and he is praying to Him. And so David, he wants to feel God's presence in his life, but now he's longing for God to provide for him again. And he says, I remember you, God. I meditate on you. And he says, you have been my help. I am in the shadow of your wings. I want you to think about the instances that come to mind as we think about how God had helped David. You know, as a shepherd boy, just a young kid, really, David was out there caring for his family's flocks and protecting them from wild animals. And then later in life, you know, just a few years later, as he goes up to the battlefield and as he hears Goliath, you know, calling out to God's army and making fun of them, David goes out with a sling and a stone and he slays the giant through the power of God. When David talks about God being his help, he truly means that and he truly knows that. And he also says that, God, I am in the shadow of your wings. You know, that's a wonderful picture. We often get that picture, or people use that example of how a mother hen will shield her chicks and wrap her wings around them and protect them in a time of storm. And David is talking about how he is in the shadow of God's wings here. Go back to Psalm 91. And in Psalm 91, we don't know who wrote this psalm, but again, we see the similarities. Because in Psalm 91, verse 4, here the psalmist writes, He, God, shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. And so as David's talking about being in the shadow of God's wings, other psalmists can relate to that too, and feeling God's provision, taking care of him by being there and providing that shelter and comfort that David needs in this wilderness experience. But David also, as he's talking about God's provision, he says there, as you look at verses 5 and 6, I'm sorry, as you look at verses 7 and 8, David writes and he says, I am close behind you, and your right hand that upholds me. You know, we often hear people say that if you feel far away from God, you need to think about who has moved. We know that God doesn't move. And in this instance, God's not going to move, and neither is David, because David says, I'm going to stay close behind you. I'm going to stay close behind you so that your right hand can reach back and uphold me in those times that I have need. And certainly David, in this wilderness experience, he has a time of need, and he decides that he will stay close to God so that God might lift him up. David knows and he understands that God has provided so many times in the past, and he's longing for God to provide again, to actually take him out of this wilderness experience and return him back to the people and the things that he knows so that he can be about the will of the Father. Warren Wiersbe says this about the phrase, remember God. He says it means to recall what God has said and done in the past and apply it to our present situation. And that's exactly what David is doing. As we read this psalm, this is David, a soul longing after God, because he knows what God has said and done in the past, and he's asking God to do the same thing here now. God, speak to me. God, guide me. God, direct me. Give me insight and wisdom about where you would have me to go. David is longing for God's presence. He's longing for God's provision. And now as we get to the end of the psalm, we also see that David is asking for God's protection. Look at verses 9 through 11. They're kind of interesting because of what David says and what David asks for. He says, But those who seek my life to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for jackals. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone who swears by him shall glory. But the mouth of those who speak lies shall be stopped. We need to remember, David's in hiding. He's in hiding from his enemies. I can't tell you who the enemy was at this particular juncture. It could have been Saul. But think about how David loved Saul. And think about how whenever Saul's life was actually taken from him, David was overcome with emotion by that. It could have been Absalom, his own son. And think about how David loved his family. And here is his son that's trying to overthrow his father, the king. David doesn't speak these words just flippantly. He needs protection. And his words are really interesting there because he says about his enemies. Now remember, this could be Saul, who he was very close to, or his own very son. And he says that his enemies will go to the lower parts of the earth, that they'll fall by the sword, that they will be a portion for jackals. His words, some might find them rather offensive, that he's asking God to bring about destruction of his enemies. How could David say these things? But I like what Warren Wiersbe wrote about this. He said, these rebels, whoever they were enemies of God and God's purposes for Israel. And those purposes, including the coming of Messiah into the world. So think about that. Whether it's Saul or Absalom, whoever's trying to harm David is really trying to stop the plan of God where Jesus would come out of the house and line of David. And we need to consider that in light of what David is asking for here. But I also want you to notice that David is not taking matters into his own hands. He wants to rely upon the protection and God's hand of justice to mete out punishment, to mete out whatever needed to come to those who were David's enemies at this point. Look at what David wrote in the very next psalm, in Psalm 64. Because to me, as we look to Psalm 64 and verse 7, we see that David understood that justice was not in his hand, but it was in the hand of God. In Psalm 64, verse 7, but God shall shoot at them with an arrow. Suddenly they shall be wounded, so he will make them stumble over their own tongue. All who see them shall flee away. Here David's writing about the fact that whenever justice and mercy comes, it would come at the hand of God and God alone. And look at the end of Psalm 63 there. As David would be delivered by God's protection, David said he would rejoice. Not rejoicing that his enemies were defeated, not rejoicing that they had become the food for the jackals in the wilderness, but rejoicing because of God's protection and God's intercession here to protect him and take him out of this wilderness place that he found himself in. And I want you to notice something else there in verse 11. It wouldn't be just David that would rejoice, but it would be other believers in the Lord God that they would rejoice too, because they would see that God had provided protection and provision, and his presence was with David through all these things, and David would rejoice, and other believers would rejoice too. As we come to a close this morning in our message, we see David, a soul longing for God. And I go back to Bobby the Wonder Dog for just a minute, because as we hear that story about that dog, it's amazing that an animal longed for the presence, the provision, the protection of his masters. One of the little stories I saw on YouTube about that the masters of Bobby, when he came back home, that they fed him a steak and they gave him a bowl of cream and he laid down and slept for 3 days. Bobby knew that his masters would take care of him if he could just find his way back to them over that distance of 2,000 miles plus. And as great as that story is, a far greater importance would be the heart of every believer. In David, we see a person who he longed to feel God's presence in that dry and wilderness place he found himself in. He longed for God to provide, as God had provided in the past, and he longed for God to protect him and to watch over him and to pull him out of this wilderness and to put him back in the place that God wanted him to be. David's soul longed for God. Warren Wiersbe also writes, and he says, what life does to us depends on what life finds in us. How easy it would have been for David in that wilderness place to turn away from God and say, God, why did you put me here? Why am I in this spot? Maybe to even become angry or to curse God and say, God, this isn't fair. But as Wiersbe writes, what life does to us depends on what life finds in us. And what life found in David was a deep love for the Lord and a desire to please Him. Even in that wilderness experience, David wasn't going to walk away from what he knew in his heart, what he knew in his soul, that God would be his comfort, that God would be his shield, that God would be his protector and provider. And so he says, God, I'm praying to you. I'm praying to you from my bed. I'm praying to you through the night watches. I remember you. And I long for your presence in my life. Our souls should long for God. And our souls should long for God, not just in the good days, but our souls should long for God in the dry and thirsty days as well. That we wouldn't forget Him, that we wouldn't lose sight of Him, but that we might pray and we might remember Him from our bed, whether it's our own or a bed that we're uncomfortable in, that our souls might truly long for Him. One last psalm I'd like you to look at today, and it's Psalm 73. In Psalm 73, again, it's another psalm that it's not from David. This one's from Asaph, who was called a director of music. But I want you to notice again how there's such similarities throughout the psalms of people thirsting for God. People feeling as though they're under the protection and care of God. And here we see in Psalm 73, Asaph basically saying, God, you're the one my soul needs to long after. You're the one I need to search for. And in Psalm 73, verse 25, Asaph begins by saying, whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none on earth that I desire besides you. See, there it is. He's saying, I am longing for you, God. And there's nobody else on the earth that I long for the way I long for you. Verse 26, my flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For indeed, those who are far from you perish. You have destroyed all those who desert you for harlotry. Verse 28. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare all your works. We see another psalmist with a soul longing after God. Here the psalmist says, who have I in heaven but you? I have put my trust in the Lord. Like David, this psalmist wants to feel God's presence, God's provision, God's protection. This psalmist writes about God being his strength, his portion, and his refuge. Church, what should our souls long after? Our souls should long after God, his protection, his provision, his presence, his care. Might that be our prayer this morning, that our souls might long after him? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning, and we thank you for this time and your word. And Lord, we thank you for even a little story that we might be able to share with others. A little story that might help us remember of the longing that David had for you. Lord, I pray that in my own life, not just in the good days, but in those days of trial, in those days of difficulty, Lord, that you would find my soul searching after you and longing for you as David did. as these other psalmists did, Lord. That I might recognize that in those dry valleys, that my real hope, it comes from you. And Lord, that would be my prayer, not only for myself, but it would be my prayer for all who are gathered here this morning, that our souls would long after you. Lord, it's easy for our souls to become weary as we look around the world and we see the things that are going on around us. We see wars. We see disagreement. We see division. We see so many things that are negative. And Lord, those things all drag us into that wilderness of dryness. Lord, it's easy for us to take our minds, our hearts, and our souls away from you. Lord, I pray that this morning that the message might be an encouragement as we're lying awake at night with the cares and concerns of family and friends and our world, that we might just say as David did, Lord, I remember you. I meditate on you. Lord, I ask for your presence to fill me. I pray that you might provide for me again. I pray, Lord, that you might protect me and guide me through this wilderness place so that I can rejoice, so that your people can rejoice with me and be reminded of who you are. Lord, we thank you for this time to be in your word this morning. We pray that your word would speak to our hearts and minds in a way that would draw our souls near to you. We pray and ask these things in your precious name. Amen.